chapter 11. This morning, we continue our series that we started 2 weeks ago on the outworking of our faith. That we are here as Christians, we are left here by God after we get saved to serve. Amen? And our word for 2024 is the word work. We're here to work. Here to work for Jesus. So we saw 2 weeks ago from James chapter 1 that we're to be a doer of the work. We're here to work for God, to serve God. Last week, we looked in John 13 where Jesus gave that beautiful example to his disciples and to us of washing their feet before he spent time with them there in the upper room. We're here to work for one another. The Bible says, by love, serve one another in Galatians 5:13. Today, here in 1 Corinthians 9, we learn that we're also to work for the lost. That we're here to work to try to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ so they also can receive eternal life and be rescued from hell. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 is where we'll begin. Paul says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." So our title today is Servant Unto All. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of assembling here this morning in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ around your precious word. We ask that the Holy Spirit now take it and use it in our hearts in powerful ways, that you would be glorified and pleased as we lift you up. And Lord, that our hearts would truly be stirred to work for you in 2024. And so, Lord, we thank you and we give this service to you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul starts there by saying, I'm free from all men. What does he mean by that? He means we're not under bondage anymore. Man can't tell us, oh, you got to do this, you got to do this to get to heaven. We're going to heaven if we're saved. And as we've been studying in Galatians, there's so many that want to try to add to our salvation, don't they? They want to say, oh, well, you got to get baptized, or you got to keep the law, or you got to do this or that. No, it's 100% by the grace of God that we are saved. Amen? For by grace are you saved. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. We're saved through the grace of God as the gift of eternal life. The gift of eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. But even though we are free from all men, Paul says, verse 19, yet, because I have this freedom now, this liberty in Christ, as we, again, read in Galatians 5:13, we have liberty in Christ, but by love serve one another, yet have I made myself servant unto all. My life, he says, is now about serving others, and not just my brothers and sisters, which we talked about last week, which we are to do, but to serve all. Even those that aren't my brothers and sisters, I'm also here to serve them. Now, of course, Jesus was our example. Go to Matthew 20:28 and we'll see this. He was our example of servanthood. Jesus came to serve. Now, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He could have came and ruled and reigned and ordered people around. But he didn't do that, did he? He came and spent his life as a servant. Here in Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus, of course, gave the ultimate price of serving others by literally dying for us. Hallelujah. Christ died for us. Paul in Romans 1, if you would turn there, verse 14, explains the same in his ministry, that though we are free from all men, we are actually, he says, a debtor to all men because they need what we have which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:14, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. We're not going to be able to get to heaven at the judgment seat of Christ and say, oh, Lord, I didn't know. I didn't know I was supposed to tell others. That's actually impossible to be able to say that if you know the Word of God at all. Because the last thing Jesus said before he went to heaven in Acts chapter 1 was, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you and ye shall be witnesses. Then he went to heaven. Last thing he said, I'm going to give you power through the Holy Ghost so that you can be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. We're here to be a servant unto all. And by the way, you know, these days we think of the word servant more in a negative light. But in God's program, it's a very positive thing to be referred to as a servant. Let me show you some examples. Look at Numbers chapter 12. Now, we all know that God was very pleased with Moses as his servant. He called him specifically to rescue Israel from Egypt and to lead God's people for the 40 years in the desert. And look what he says of him in Numbers 12:7. My servant Moses is not so who is faithful in all mine house. My servant. In God's program, to be called a servant is actually a compliment. Amen? Jesus said in Matthew 23, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. We are here to serve. And in Philippians 2:5, Jesus was our ultimate example. If you want to turn there, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. We saw him specifically say he was giving an example in the upper room last week when he washed the disciples' feet. But he was also an example in being a servant during his time on earth. Look at Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Jesus chose to take upon him the form of a servant, even though we should be serving him. Why did he do that? Because we're here to serve. He came to set that beautiful example. We're here to work for God, work for one another, but we're here to work for the lost too. Look at back in our passage there in 1 Corinthians 9. Here's the work part. Verses 20 through 21, Paul says, I've got to work at this. If I'm trying to witness to a Jew, I try to relate to him as a Jew. That's what he says. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. He says, when I'm talking to those that have put themselves under the law, I put myself under the law so that I can empathize and relate to them so that they'll listen to me. He says, to those that are without law, talking about the heathen, that's you and me, the non-Jews, I became as without law. But then, of course, you had to put in parentheses, that doesn't mean I'm going to sin to win the lost, but I am going to do my best to relate those that are not Jews, to relate to those who are not under the law, so that I might what? Gain them that are without the law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. That's work, isn't it? Looking for the way that you can relate, that you can empathize with everyone that we meet so that you can gain them, so that you can talk to them about Jesus and gain them for God. He says, this is what I do, but I do it not for me, I do it for them. I do it to serve them. Philippians 4:12 is another good example if you want to turn there. Paul said he understood that he had to go through different sufferings in his life, and that they had a purpose. Philippians 4:12, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. He spent time sitting in prison cells with chains around his ankles. He spent time planting churches and seeing hundreds of people come to Christ and churches started. He said, I've experienced both. He says there in that verse, everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Whatever God wants, that's what he's going to give into my life. But why? Why would God do that? So that I can relate to the lost. So I become a Jew to win the Jews. I become those that are under law to win those that are under law. I become those that are without law that I might win those that are outlaw. I do all of this. Back in our passage, 1 Corinthians 9, I made all things to all men. You know, when it comes to witnessing to the lost, it's not complicated. People try to make it complicated, but it isn't. You really just need three things. You need to have a basic understanding of the gospel. That's easy. Just a basic outline. Man is a sinner. Man deserves to go to hell. Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin. And if we'll trust him, he'll give us eternal life. Well, that was pretty easy. I said that in less than a minute. That's an outline of the gospel. And then to have some scriptures. You might not even have them memorized, but you at least know the references to go with each of those points. That's the first thing you need is the gospel. The second thing you need is, of course, is your testimony. Everybody has a testimony. You might not be really good at presenting the gospel, but everyone can say, this is what God did for me. If you don't have a testimony, maybe you're not saved. Because everyone should be able to say, on such and such a day, I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I received eternal life. I was born again. I know I'm going to heaven. That's your testimony. But you know, the third thing that you need is what Paul's talking about here, and that is empathy. When you're witnessing to the lost, you need to try to relate and empathize with them so that they'll listen to you. If you end up in someone's home, find a way to relate. If you end up witnessing to someone at work, find a way to relate. Like Paul said, you don't sin to do it, but find a way. If you're talking to a Jew, it's different than talking to a Gentile. If you're talking to a person in a cult, it's different than talking to someone that's never been to church, isn't it? But find a way to relate. That's called empathy, so that you can be, as he says, all things to all men. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:33, and look how he explains it. Just the next chapter over, 1 Corinthians 10:33. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. There's the goal. That's the end goal of the whole thing, he says. Why do I go through all this trouble? Why do I try to relate to a Jew and to a non-Jew? That they may be saved. There it is. There's a point, isn't there? There's a point to everything God does. And there's a point to working for the lost, and that is so they can be saved. And so it's not so you can win an argument. It's not so that you can impress them with your Bible knowledge. It's so they can be saved from hell. From the consequences of their sin. There's a point behind it all. Philippians 2:14, if you were 15, if you would. Paul here talking about you and me as sons of God. And again, he reminds us, why are we here? Philippians 2:15. That they may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, that's us, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Holding forth the word of life. That's us. We're here to shine, and we're here to hold forth the word. That's the gospel. Look at his last two words in our passage this morning. 1 Corinthians 9:22, that I might by all means save some. Save some. Amen? That's the goal. Save some. I mean, it'd be awesome if they all got saved, wouldn't it? If every time we witnessed to someone, they said, wow, I understand that. I want to place my faith in Christ. I want to be saved today. That'd be great. But God gave us a free will. And some won't get saved. I mean, Paul obviously was an effective witness, right? And yet it says of even of his own ministry, some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not, in Acts 28:24. Some got saved, some wanted to kill him. Some got saved, some stoned him. But they got the gospel. And save some. Save them from what? From hell. The reality of hell. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:11. Paul explains this. The motive is to save. To save them from the consequences of their sin. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We look for a way to persuade them to be saved. To save some, as he tells us in 2 Timothy 2, that we, the servant of the Lord, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. And then Jude verse 23, if you turn there, please, quickly, Jude 23. So we are here, left on this earth after salvation to serve God, to work for God. We're here to serve others, to work for others, and we are here to serve all men, even the lost, to work for them. It is work to empathize. It is work to set aside the time and the energy to share the gospel and get to know someone and to tell them about Jesus Christ dying for them on the cross and rising again that they might have eternal life. Notice Jude 23, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I mean, you've all heard it before. All you Christians, the only reason that you believe in salvation or that you come to God is to escape hell. I just say, amen. That's why I got saved. I don't know why you got saved, but I got saved to be saved. That's what the word saved means. It means to be rescued. Rescued from what? From hell. That's why Christ died, to seek and to save them which were lost. So when he says others save with fear, fear of what? Fear of hell. You know, God says, don't fear those who can kill the body. Talking about man or even the devil. Fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Fear God, and only fear God. And yes, the Bible says there's no fear of God before their eyes, talking about the world, and many people that we try to witness to, they don't have any fear of God. We can't produce it in their hearts, but we can share the gospel. We can empathize. We can share our testimony. Let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Some will actually listen because there's been a seed planted. Maybe it's already been watered by someone else. But God gives the increase. 1 Corinthians 3:7. Our job is just, like Paul said, to become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. He says, therefore, you know what I've done? Verse 19, I have made myself servant unto all. I look for an opportunity to serve the heathen, to serve the lost, for one reason, to save some. That's it. Not complicated, is it? We're here to work. We're here to work for God. We're here to work for one another. And we're definitely here to work for the lost. And the way we do that, as Paul did, was to make ourselves servant unto all. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you for convicting our hearts about our need to be all things to all men, that we might by all means save some. Lord, help us to realize we are servant unto all. We've been assigned this task, and may we fulfill it. May we give the gospel. May we look for ways to relate and empathize with the lost and share our testimony. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to Thee and to reach out to them whenever You give us those opportunities. We are so grateful for You speaking to our heart this morning. Lord, if there's someone in our service that's not yet born again themselves, they've come to church today, that's wonderful. But I pray they'll come to Christ today and be saved themselves and know that they have eternal life. So thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen.